radio station, KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 MW Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Everywhere you go, there is trouble.
There is trouble.
Everywhere you go, there is strife.
There is strife.
Everywhere you go, there is something that worries you. But remember,
oh, God is standing by.
Oh, yeah. Everywhere you go, there is trouble.
There is trouble.
Everywhere you go, there is strife.
There is strife.
Everywhere you go, there is something that worries you. But remember,
Jesus, he'll be right there.
Jesus. your way.
I'm gonna give
that's
it free.
Not you. That's not you.
Amen.
That's no one. That's no one. That is God. That is God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Telling our deacons before service this morning that I had hired a new drummer and he hadn't shown up yet. And I know the time changed and all of that, but he finally made it. Now, Bro Raymond, what I'll do, you got your singing voice today? You got any singing voice in you? Okay, so what I want to do to make up for you being late, all right? But Cutright, get this mic. You know, you're going to have to play the drums, too. Yeah, but just grab this mic here. Now, the Pleasant Hill knows my favorite song is a song called I'll Make It. You remember that? All right. And I told Bro Cutright and that I don't want nobody else singing this but Raymond. And me when I feel like it, amen. But I want us to come on, choir, y'all help them out. I'll make it. Make sure that's an A flat, amen. I'll make it. Come on, Sister Rosette, y'all help them.
All right. Mic check. Come on, put y'all hands together. I was down to my last dime. Jesus stepped in right on time. Show me sick. I couldn't get well. He healed my body. Now I can tell all.
All right now.
Think I'll make it.
Think I'll make it.
In the house. Be.
Oh,
come on, y'all, sing it with me.
Think I'll make it.
Anyhow. Thought I couldn't make it today.
Yeah.
My heart felt great pain. Pain must have been too much. I was about to give up.
Yeah.
Here I am.
Yeah.
Lord, I'm screaming in glory.
Yeah.
Here I am.
Here I
got to tell everybody's story.
Oh,
all right.
Right now.
Think I'll make it.
Anyhow.
Yeah, it's gonna be all right.
Oh, right now.
Oh, think I'll make it.
Anyhow.
Listen here. Say, I'll make it.
I'll make it.
Through the storm and the rain.
I'll make it.
Lord, I'll make it.
I'll make it.
Yes, I will.
I'll make it.
Oh, through my ups and downs.
I'll make it.
Listen here. I do believe I'll make it. Oh, I do believe I'll make it.
I do believe I'll make it.
I'll make it.
I'll make it.
Come on, y'all, stand up, say I'll make it.
I'll make it.
If God bring it to you,
I'll make
say,
it.
Say I'll make it.
I'll make it.
With no friends around.
I'll make it.
Y'all, I'll make it.
I'll make it.
Say I'll make it.
I'll make it.
Yes, I will.
I'll make it.
Oh, I'll make it.
I'll make
all
it.
Right.
All right now.
Think I'll make it. All right. He's all right. Say he's all right. He's all right. Yes, he's all right. Yes, he's all right. Yes, he's all right. Whoa, I'll make it. Say, I'll make it.
I'll make
wave
it.
Your hands, say, I'll make it.
I'll make it.
If you have some trials,
I'll make it.
Say, I'll make it.
I'll make
yes,
it.
Yes, I will.
I'll make it.
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 Say, I'll make it.
I'll make
through
it.
Through the storm and the rain.
I'll make it.
I'll make it.
I'll make
all
it.
Right.
All right.
Oh, bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. And Father, we pray that you will speak a word into our hearts and into our minds that will remind us that with you we can make it. We thank you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody stand, please. If you have your Bibles, I want to call your attention to the 139th number of the book of Psalms, Psalm 139 and verse 14. There is a word from the Lord. Amen. Psalm 139, verse 14. And there you will find these words. I will praise thee. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Let me read it one more time. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I want to talk for just a few moments from the subject, the importance of knowing your worth. The importance of knowing your worth. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Tuxedo rental, $295. Floral arrangements, $2,800. Three-tier Bavarian chocolate wedding cake, $1,700. Photographer, $2,000. The grand total cost of a modern day wedding, about $11,000. The glow on the bride's face as she walks down the aisle to take the hand of her beloved, priceless. Many of us have seen that MasterCard commercial that reminds us that many material things have a price tag, but there are some things that money cannot buy. The sentimental value of some things far exceeds monetary parameters. If the head of the World Bank tried to write a check for some things, the check would come back marked insufficient funds. Some things are so precious, so unique, and so life-changing that it is impossible to attach a price tag that reflects the totality of their value. Such things are priceless. For example, the cost of receiving counsel from a wise elder. That's priceless. To hear a loved one say, I admire you and love you, that's priceless. And the privilege of being able to get on your knees each night and have a little talk with the Lord. And amen, the Lord our God who says, ask and it shall be given to you, that is priceless. There's something else, my brothers and sisters, that is priceless in this world. But many of us fail to fathom its value. What is it, you ask? You see it every day. It goes wherever you go. It has been with you for as long as you have existed. What is this priceless phenomenon? It's you. It's you. It's you. It's you. The text says, amen, before us, this text says in the 139th number of Psalm, it is called an individual psalm. Because most psalms were created and designed for corporate worship. But there are some psalms that are designed for the individual worshiper. You see, in Jewish antiquity, there were times when the whole community worshiped God together. And everyone quoted the same psalm. But then there were times when individuals would go to the temple, find a psalm that spoke to their personal situation, and they would then recite it to God as if it were their own words. I imagine that this particular psalm would have been quoted by someone who needed their self-esteem increased. For example, this psalm would have really would have helped Job. Y'all remember Job, don't you? Job, after he lost everything, he lost his children, he lost his health, he lost his friends, he lost his home, he lost his animals, he lost everything. Amen. It got so bad for Brother Job that his own wife said, "Brother, you ought to cuss God and die." This psalm would have also been valuable to Tamar, and I'm not talking about Tamar Braxton, even though it would help her too. But in the Bible, Tamar, amen, a woman without means, felt that she had to act as a prostitute to receive justice. Just as this psalm was a valuable resource in biblical times, I believe that it has relevance today. Just as it was recited then, I believe that it ought to be recited now. It needs to be read by people who on the outside appear to have it all together. But if we could get a glimpse into their mind for a moment, we would see that the outward appearance is very deceptive. If we could hear the conversations in their conscience, we would hear a small voice inside crying out for help. This psalm needs to be recited by the countless number of people who hate what they see in the mirror, by the countless number of women who are physically, emotionally, and verbally abused on a daily basis. It needs to be read by those contemplating suicide. It needs to be read by men and women who look for life's happiness in clothes, in cars, and in cash. It needs to be read by everyone who does not know who they are. Psalm 139 begins with the psalmist informing us, first of all, of who God is. Tell your neighbor, you need to know who God is first. Before he puts the magnifying glass or the spotlight on himself, the writer shines the light on God. In verses 1 through 5, the psalmist acknowledges God's omniscience. His God knows all about him. In verse 6, the psalmist says that God's ways are not our ways and are just too deep for us to understand. In verses 7 through 10, the psalmist describes God as omnipresent. God is in all things and present everywhere. I like the way this psalm is tailored because before the psalmist looks at himself, he acknowledges God. Before he attempts to explain himself, he decides to talk about his God. He decides to reflect upon his Creator. Before he views himself in the mirror of personal reflection or self-image, he shows off his God. And do you know, my brothers and sisters, I think that many of us can learn a lesson from the psalmist, because many times we get to talking to God about our problems. We talk to God about our trials. We tell God about our troubles. We tell God about the folk who are bothering us, when instead of telling God about all of that, sometimes we need to tell our troubles about our God. We need to tell our problems about our God. We need to tell our anxieties about our God. We need to let our depression know that we serve a God who is able to lift your burdened heart. He's able to open doors. He's able to make a way out of no way. We need to talk about our God. Because, my brothers and sisters, if you can see yourself through the eyes of God, then I believe you can get a clearer picture. I believe you can get a more complete picture. I believe you can get a more correct picture. As he looks at himself through the eyes of God, in verse 13, the psalmist asserts, he says, "For you did form my inward parts. You did knit me together in my mother's womb." Right there, do y'all know what the psalmist is saying? The psalmist is saying, "I am not an accident. My birth was divinely planned by God. I know that I am special because God doesn't make junk. Every single part of my body has God's stamp of approval on it. I Some of you may look up here and say he's too big, but God looks at me and says he's just right. Do I have any witnesses out there who have understood that in your own life, in spite of what other folk may say about you, when you start looking at yourself through God's eyes, in spite of your deficiencies, in spite of your mess ups, in spite of your mistakes, when you look at yourself through God's eyes, you only need one reminder, and that is John 3:16, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have ever. I wonder if there are any special folk in the house. I know you've been beaten down, my sister. I know you're discouraged, my brother. But Pastor Garner came by on this Sunday morning to wake you up out of your anxiety, to lift you up out of your depression, to let you know that you are special in the eyes of God. Now, I can say it all day, but if you don't believe it in your own heart, then I'm just wasting my breath. I need one or two folk who will testify right through here that I am special because God made me special. I'm not an accident. My birth was planned by God. I'm not junk. I am somebody. And so in verse 14, he concludes, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Come on, y'all. I need you to think about yourself. Now, I know, you know, somebody may say, well, that seems selfish, Pastor. I ought not be thinking about myself. But this is the purpose of this message today, is for you, after you focused in on God, to focus in on yourself in spite of what you feel, in spite of what folk think, in spite of what people have said. And understand, my brother, my sister, that you are special in the eyes of God. Come on, point to yourself, pat yourself on the back, and say, I am special to God. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. That's the first thing I'd like you to remember today. You are priceless because God made you. As I contemplated the fact that God made me, I was able to conceive a mental image of how it happened. With my spiritual imagination, I could see God as a divine architect. Then God had a conversation with God. And God said, I think I'll sit down and design me a Joseph Lee Garner. Then God began to sketch out the plan. God said, I think I'll make him a black man with a lot of protective melanin in his skin. I'll give him a handsome face. I'll give him a receding hairline. I think I'll give him kinky hair, and since I make all hair is good. I'll give him a thick neck and broad shoulders. I will also give him some charisma and a thirst for knowledge. I'll give him a big heart and the anointing to preach my word. After God finished designing me, God rolled up that blueprint. He placed it on a shelf somewhere. God took off his architect's hat and put on a construction hat. Then God walked off out of the royal room. He peered down over the balcony of heaven and tossed a seed into the universe. And by God's divine providence, I said, by God's divine providence, he touched Willie Garner and Lily Garner, and I was conceived. And for the next 9 months, like a potter with clay in his hands, God shaped me. God molded me, every piece of me. God Taylor made me the way God wanted me to be. And that's why I've come by to tell somebody today that in spite of what other folk think about you, you ought to be encouraged to know that whatever else they say, God made you, my brother. God made you, my sister. Can I tell you something? I'm not everything I want to be. I know I'm probably not everything I ought to be. But I can shout today because God made me who I am. Is there anybody that can take confidence today because God made you? Made you who you are. Sister Robinson, I come by to let them know that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I agree with the psalmist on that. But what do the words fearfully and wonderfully really mean? You see, in the Hebrew, these words have the same meaning. First of all, both mean to cause astonishment and awe, to stand in awe of. Amen, amen, amen. Simply put, because God made you, people ought to be astonished every time you walk in a room. I said, because God made. See, some of y'all walk in the room, amen, no confidence, head down, amen, acting like you nobody, amen. But because God made you. My sister, can I tell you something? Pick your head up. I know you've been through a lot in your life, but if you can't rejoice about anything else, you can rejoice over the fact that you are a creation of God. When you walk in the room, amen, forget all the stuff your haters have said. Forget all of the folk who told you you'd never be nothing. And you never walk in that room saying, I am the creation of God. I am special in his eyes because he made me. So the first thing that fearfully and wonderfully mean is that there is astonishment attached to me. But the second thing that the word wonderfully and fearfully means is respectfully. That says you deserve respect because God made you. You know, I know you ain't got all the degrees that everybody else in the room has. I understand that you don't have the titles and you don't have the rank that some other folk have. Amen. But you deserve respect. Because God made you. Do I have any witnesses here today? Amen. Amen. God made you. You deserve to be treated with honor and respect because God made you. When you speak, people ought to listen to what you have to say because God made you. No one should ever talk to you like you're less than human because God made you. No one has any business putting their hands on you because God made you. You may not be Halle Berry, you may not be Denzel Washington, but you still deserve respect. You're not even Aretha Franklin, but you still deserve R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Come on, how many of you can testify, amen, that I deserve respect because God made me? The next thing the text is tailored to teach us is that the cosmos, the universe, when you look in the sky tonight, or if you look in the sky today, you need to understand that the cosmos is a testimony of how priceless you are. Well, Pastor, why do you say that? Why do you say? I say it because the Bible says that God